Sawate discipuli and sawate omnes. Welcome again to another episode of Latin in Layman's. I also want to go ahead and touch base on the fact that that intro for my last episode was like kind of wonky quality and then all of a sudden it got better. Apologies, I did not hear that in the playback when I was about to post it, but hopefully when I post this one, it sounds a lot better. That being said, we're going to get into we're not going to use the R word, but the abduction of Persephone. It's actually the myth itself is also referred to as the rape of Persephone, which, again, a little harsh here. We're not going to leave it so harsh. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the actual mythology. I'm going to talk about really how it goes in its nitty-gritty, just straightforward. And I'm going to talk about that, and then I'm going to read my rendition that will be a little bit more poetic, it'll be a little bit more nuanced, it'll go into all of the things that the myth has to offer, but through my own lens, because maybe it's sleepy time for you guys, and hey, you know what, I've been told that a lot of people like to just put on my podcast to fall asleep to, and I am flattered that you guys find my voice to be soothing, and I will continue to do that. And also stay tuned for down the pike. We're going to be doing more grammar episodes again. So I want to also entertain more heavy grammar episodes that are just more conceptual in later Latin. So things like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, indirect statement, indirect question, things that you're going to find in the subjunctive, all those kinds of relative clauses of characteristic, and we'll get into it at some point. It's important to know, especially because we utilize all this stuff in our speech every single day. We're just not aware of it. So it's like we're becoming aware and cognitively aware. It's like we have this dissonance towards our language right now, a cognitive dissonance. And it's all about knowing more because we want to make that dissonance more cognitive so that we're cognitively aware. And then when we're aware, we're thinking critically about the way in which we speak, how we can manipulate it, what audience will receive your vernacular. Essentially, what I mean by that is, hey, you're going to be able to know how to entertain an audience with the medical doctor and throwing down all those terminologies, but also being able to turn to the patient and say, you know what, this is what these all mean in layman's terms. Not Latin in layman's, but layman's. So with that being said, let's get on into it for today. Today being April 2nd, 2024, I just recently learned, because now that we know that I am unemployed, I will go ahead and plug my Ko-Fi, which you can find all the links in the show notes to support me. Would really appreciate it, going over to TikTok, looking at my showcase, buying anything off that showcase, because I get a little small commission from those things, all of which I do vet completely and utterly, but most of them are going to be supplements and that kind of stuff, because I'm all about health and gut health and, you know, optimizing one's health and feeling good right here, right now. It's always what I'm trying to do. So if your soul has ever moved to do so, bop on over there. Also Gut Guardian, you can get $10 off your first order. And well, not your first order, any order thereafter, using my code Liam64728, that is also found in the show notes. Would really appreciate it. I think that that can also apply to their hydration formula, and I believe they only have hydration, like electrolyte formulas and probiotic, prebiotic, postbiotic fiber supplement. But consider it, bop on over there, get $10 off, and support your boy, because I do this all for free and I'm trying to be proactive and productive all the time, even being unemployed right now. I hate being unemployed because I'm always judging myself, because I feel like other people are judging me, and I'm sure that other people can probably resonate with the fact that, because I've never been in this situation before and it's weird. Yeah, whatever. Anyways, I'll leave it there. I'm not going to ramble bamble too much. But I will go ahead and say that what I meant to also touch upon was the fact that parents are actually hitting me up right now because the high school principal, DK Dog, quote-unquote resigned from my prior school that I used to work at. You guys know Monument. So after they canned me untimely and with no reasoning whatsoever and a lot of flippant, you know, just like they just took things out of context, embellished them to fit their own narrative. That's where it comes from. I put some things out on TikTok. They spun it to fit their own narrative, and then they fired me because of it, because parents run that school. And the problem is that it's not even the good parents that run the school. It's the crappy parents that want everybody to just be miserable like them. Because misery loves company, and I know. So anyways, that's kind of weird. But remember, the definition of a toxic workplace is a revolving door of employees. And if you can't keep a principal past 2 years, moreover, a Latin teacher, if you consider the eighth grade English position to be the defense against the dark arts, because there's always a new English teacher either each semester or each year. We've been able to keep the science teacher for a year and a half. The math teacher's new this year, but I know that she's going to stay. She's really rocking awesome, actually. It's just like, that's the definition of a toxic workplace. Just in and out, in and out, in and out. No stability. And those kids have to reap that. I was talking to one of the parents last night, and it's just so unfortunate that they just didn't allow me to get back to my semblance of myself, because now those kids are going to learn jack for the remainder of the year. It's just going to be such a lame class. They're going to be – one of my students hit me up and was like, yeah, from Latin 2, Latin 3, they're learning phonetics. What the heck? So now the kids are getting a disservice because they're not going to be learning anything. It's just going to be a jack around class. And maybe that sounds great for them, but at the end of the day, there's already jack around classes a lot. That school does not implement any school, really. Because they're like, oh, you're defaming Monument Academy. You're debasing them. And it's kind of hard not to, because you guys suck so much. I mean, the fact that you guys literally have a licensure. One of the parents that was talking to me about the principal thing last night found it appalling, the fact that at our Monument Academy at the East Campus, there's a lot more that are licensed at the West Campus, but at the East Campus where the secondary is housed, 17%. I think it might even be less, are actually licensed as teachers there. All the rest are, you know, whatever. That's what they do. They just hire whomever. And that clearly goes to show. And then the people that are licensed, like me, for instance, and the good teachers, you know what? They try. I remember at the beginning of last semester, the HR was trying to get me to promote that concept of, you know, the teachers like doing the praxis or whatever to get their licensure, but the school was not going to fund it. So they were trying to get me to like kind of convince other teachers to get licensed and it be out of pocket. They laughed in my face, and I'm like, yeah, of course they are going to laugh in my face, because I'm not going to pay for it out of pocket either when I'm a teacher and severely underpaid as well. So, you know, it just is what it is. But like the fact that they're trying to build a high school, I feel like they just need to try and solidify the middle school at this point. I wanted to be that rock man. I would have been, but you know, whatever. At least they could have let me finish out the year and then just not renewed me, so that I could have at least given those kids a semblance of an education that they're not going to get now in Latin, because it's just a long-term sub of whom I love. She's an amazing woman. She doesn't know Latin at all. So there we go with that. Another juicy intro, if you will. Now let's get into Persephone. I'm going to talk about the myth just in the kind of the stripped down version, and then we'll get into the nuanced, and then we'll talk about ideological associations, why we have this myth, what we can garner from this myth, all that good stuff. You know me, I like diving in deep. Okay, so this myth here, Persephone, was the daughter of Zeus and Demeter, the goddess of nature. In mythology, it's really said that one of the rare times Hades traveled out from the underworld, he laid his eyes upon Persephone, who was gathering flowers, I guess, in a field. And Hades just fell so instantly in love that he decided to kidnap Persephone and make her his wife. That's where you get the abduction. Ab means away, duco ducere, to lead away, the abduction. Realizing that her daughter had been taken, though, Demeter searched frantically. She destroyed crops, livestock, anything and everything that got in her way. And in her rage, Demeter vowed to neglect her duties until her daughter was returned, therefore covering the earth with snow and leaving nature to writhe and die so that the world would kind of be barren as her heart was. And that's actually the ideological understanding of where we get the seasons of winter, okay? But we'll get into it more. Fearing the loss of Earth to Demeter's pain, though, Zeus ordered Hades to return Persephone. Zeus was like, yo, bro, we gotta have Persephone back. Earth's looking pretty grim. Hades reluctantly agreed. He was like, I don't know, man. She's 10 out of 10 banging, but fine. Offering the now ravenous girl now as a platter, basically before she left, essentially consumed with hunger, Persephone ate 6 pomegranate seeds from that platter that Hades had given her. When Zeus and Demeter came to collect her daughter, Hades announced that Persephone could not leave, for she had not eaten the food of the dead. Desperate not to make matters worse, though, Zeus and Hades came to a compromise. For half the year, Persephone would stay with Hades in the underworld, and for the other half, she would return to her mother on Earth, abiding by her vow for 6 months of autumn and winter. While Persephone is gone, Demeter makes the earth cold and lifeless to match her empty heart, and over the 6 months of spring and summer, while Persephone is returned to her mother, the earth springs to life once again. And that, according to the ancient Greeks, is where the seasons come from. So, now, let's get into it. Because once upon a time, a long, long time ago, way off in a faraway land, in a time shrouded in the mists of myth, where mortal gods walked hand in hand, bloomed a woman, Persephone, daughter of Demeter, the goddess of harvest. Her laughter echoed through sun-drenched fields, her smile brighter than the noonday sun. Amongst meadows bursting with life, she danced with nymphs, her beauty rivaling the blooming flora. One day, as Persephone wove a crown of wildflowers in a field, the earth split open. From the abyss emerged Hades, the somber god of the underworld. His chariot, drawn by ebony steeds, cast an unsettling shadow on the vibrant landscape. Before Persephone could scream, Hades, captivated by her beauty, swept her into his chariot and vanished into the depths of the earth. Demeter, sensing a terrible loss, searched high and low for her daughter. The once fertile fields withered under her grief, crops failing and the chill setting upon the land was all-consuming. Helios, the sun god, witnessed the descent, but dared not defy Hades, dare not step in Demeter's path. Days bled into weeks, then into months, and Demeter's cries remained unanswered. In her despair, she neglected her divine duty, plunging the world into a desolate winter. Upon Mount Olympus, the other gods trembled under Demeter's wrath. The world, deprived of life-giving harvests, teetered on the brink of chaos. Zeus, the king of gods, intervened. He dispatched Hermes, the swift messenger, to the underworld, demanding Persephone's return in order to rectify. Hades, however, presented a cunning challenge. Unknown to Persephone, he had tricked her into eating a pomegranate seed, the fruit of the underworld, binding her to his realm. A compromise was struck, though. Zeus pleaded. Persephone would spend 6 months with Hades, the underworld blooming in her presence, and 6 months with Demeter, bringing life back to the earthly plane. And such, the deal was struck. And the cycle began. Spring bloomed, and Persephone's return commenced. Summer thrived in her joyous presence. But as autumn painted the leaves, a melancholic yearning settled within her. With each descent, a single pomegranate seed lingered in her stomach, a bittersweet reminder of her dual life. And thus is where we get the explanation of spring, summer, winter, fall, all that stuff. Winter, fall, she's down in the underworld. Spring, summer, she's spending time with her mom. So really, there are a lot of woven and multiple threads that kind of overlap in this myth. On the surface, it really explains the cyclical nature of the seasons, spring and summer representing Demeter and Persephone's reunion in autumn and winter, thereafter their separation. But it also delves deeper, exploring the themes of love and loss and the power of a mother's bond. Love my mom. I love my mom. Mom, love ya. Hope you're listening to this, because then you hear that I love you. But if you don't, then you don't hear this. But maybe you feel it right now while I say it. Etiological implications really explain that cyclical nature of the seasons. And, I guess it kind of like just kind of broaching this concept that's crucial to early agricultural societies. It provided kind of this framework for understanding the changing of the world and the sense of control and the seeming chaotic shifts of nature. They were trying to suss through the natural inevitabilities of this world that we cannot explain and we never have been able to explain. But you know what? It is what it is. Well, through science we have. But science is ever changing, and science is humble because it seeks to prove itself wrong. And that's what I love about it. And I'm going to shut up now, because its modern relevance really refers to our modern scientific world. The abduction of Persephone kind of resonates with the fact that it speaks to the universal themes of separation, longing, and bittersweet nature of life and death. And it explores the complex nature between the mother and daughter, this fierce love and potential conflict that's present. Lessons to glean? I'm not sure about this one. Really, it's just a myth that reminds us to cherish both joy and sorrow and abundance and scarcity, talking about how everything is transient, like I said in my last episode. Everything goes across, trans across it, coming from eo, ere. The irregular verb that means to go, that's what exit means. X out of it, he, she, it goes out of. That's what an exit is. He, she, it goes out of, etymologically speaking. Exit, two Latin words, a preposition plus a verb to make the actual exit English word, which is a noun. Weird. I don't know. If you thought the Latin was dead, there you go. It's not, because you use it a lot when you use the word exit or when you use a lot of other words. I'm going to shut up, though. It also kind of, well, What was I going with that? Oh, yeah, because everything is transient, right? Everything goes across. It, he, she, it goes, or it goes, trans across. It goes across. It goes across like a sentence from left to right, going down, across, down and across, down and across, down and across, down and across. Yeah. So, if you're sad, I know sometimes when you're embedded in sadness, it's hard to think that you're never not going to be sad, but that kind of changes. Anger, same. Love, same. Happiness, can't be happy forever. Can't be sad forever. Because you're still going to have moments of happiness interspersed with it, I promise you, even if you're trying to fight it. Or even if you're like, that's impossible, I am dysthymic depression. Meaning really that it's an underlying depression that is just resonating and there and will always be there. No, you still will encounter joy and love and things that bring you out of that depression for a second, maybe. Maybe you're anxious. Panic attacks don't happen forever, even though they might seem like they do at the time, right? Sometimes you got to work through it yourself. Sometimes you have other people that are going to help you through that process. I just want you guys to know that if you're in a state where you don't feel like it's, you know, like I was saying, you know, life's hard, man. Just know that we're rooting for you. I'm rooting for you. I really am. I hope you're rooting for me. Life is hard. I feel that. I just got canned. The day that I got back from the hospital, when I presented to the ER, took a CT scan, found out that I had an abscess growing over and growing on top of the lymph node that had been swollen for the past month. That had grown to greater than 6.5 centimeters. A golf ball is 4 centimeters. I had to have that cut open and then, you know, do the dealio, and then I had to spend 3 nights in the hospital. 3 or 4, I forget. Whatever. Just to come home to be canned from my job. Life, I never say the word unfair or fair because I hear kids say that too often, and it's not about that. It's not about, oh, that's not fair, because really life is not fair. When has it ever been fair? What is fair? I mean, when I etymologize fair, I don't even know where that comes from. But what is fair? Because I know that right now, it doesn't really seem fair, in my opinion, to be let gone like that. But let gone. But oddly enough, when I pull it up here real quickly, it comes from the Old English fager, which means pleasing or attractive. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. It's spelled F-A-E-G-E-R, but that A and E are almost like joined together as its own vowel. So I need to look into that a little bit more because I don't know a lot about Old English. I got you guys. I hope you guys got me. Consider supporting me. I can support you. If you guys have any, you know, thoughts on what you want to see more or hear more, rather, because you're not really seeing anything except for in your mind's eye, maybe. I'd love to entertain anything and everything on this podcast, trying to just continue to move forward, which right now is very lateral. So try and be proud of yourself. I'm trying to be proud of myself. It's kind of hard right now. I mean, truthfully. But it is what it is. We always find a way. But remember to thank yourself, thank your toes, the pads of your feet, your heels, your calcaneus moving up, soleus, your gastrocnemius, the back of your kneecap. Have you ever even, you know, gone back there and been like, dude, like, thank you. Like, you actually, like, provide a hinge from which I can either bend and call it flexion, which is engaging my hamstrings, or I can extend and straighten out my leg, in which case my quadriceps will be engaging more so with that action. And then moving further up, you can feel your sit bones, your glutes. Maybe they're tight. Maybe they're loose. Maybe you got to stretch out a little bit. I know my glute med, that side butt that they referred to, the glute medius. So we have three butts, really, butt muscles. We have the glute maximus, glute medius, and glute minimus. That medius refers to abduction, but not the abduct like the abduction of Persephone. It's the abduction of your femur. And what is abduction of the femur? It is taking it from the midline of the body and bringing it outward, aka engaging those glutes. You know, I'm going on a one-off here. When you do that, that function, the abduction of the hip, really, that's that machine where you are pushing your knees out as the pad fights against the outside of your leg. So you're engaging that. Sometimes when I used to do it, my hip would just cramp up immediately, but I've gotten better about that. That's abduction. Abduction of the humerus would be a lateral raise, and you'd be hitting the medial deltoid, right? You'd be trying to get those round, bolder shoulders. Okay, I'm done. With that being said, tempus est discedere.